I guess these kind of scenarios are not too uncommon. Most of us, I would think, would like to help Frank and Shirley and Jeremy, even the church pastor. We would want to help because hopefully we know the benefit for our Christian lives, for spiritual consistency, of belonging to a Bible study growth group. That's our theme this morning. I did a sort of stock take here at St. Stephen's of our small midweek groups, and St. Stephen's has 10 Bible study growth groups. We have about 125 people in those groups. We have 4 special focused small groups with about 32 people in them. So add that up, 157 people. I think we have roughly about 330 people who would say that St. Stephen's is their church home. So it's about 48% of people who would be in some small group like that. Obviously, it would be tremendous if that percentage was higher, and this is because people meeting to look around God's word really is an expression of spiritual health. Just as doing some consistent exercise is good for physical well-being and health and so on, so our spiritual health as Christians is very much dependent on the time and attitude and value that we place in looking into God's word. Let me tell you about a Bible study group, growth group that I belong to. It's on a Monday night, and a number of you are in that group. We currently meet, and we're doing what they call inductive Bible study in Mark's Gospel. This means that we simply follow a pattern of asking generic questions about the text. We make our discoveries. We break up into groups of 2 and 3 in the group, and then we come back together and share our discoveries in the group with the larger group. And then we turn those discoveries into prayer. Let me tell you about another Bible study growth group. There's 5 men who meet with me on a Thursday night for about an hour. We pray to God that he may help us learn about him, grow in our knowledge of him. And then we turn to our study, which at the moment is looking at the personal work of the Holy Spirit, the work of calling people to know Christ, the work of saving people, the work of sanctifying people, and the work of him producing the scriptures. We're looking at a book called In Understanding Be Men, which sends us to verses in the Bible for us to explore. At about 9:10, we pray. The fellows are on their way home. An hour in the week where we give ourselves to renewing our minds on God's word, aiding the Holy Spirit's work of making us more like our Lord Jesus. Well, those of you who are in a Bible study growth group, or some other small group, will have your version of events of what takes place. Well, let me tell you about a group meeting in a place called Berea. And we find that description in our reading from Acts 17 that's printed in the blue sheet there. It's during Paul's second missionary journey, and he and Paul and Silas are travelling from Thessalonica, and you'll see it there circled. And because they have been speaking for a number of Sabbath days in the city, and all through the city, in fact, about Jesus the Messiah, about Jesus the Christ, the fulfillment of all the scriptures, well, there's some Jews who are jealous, they're angry, and a riot starts. And the believers in the city send Paul and Silas away to Berea, and you'll see it circled there. It's a nighttime journey of about 70 kilometres. Over land, it's a bit like Mittagong to Wollongong. It takes about 12 hours, 14 hours, something like that, at a reasonable average walking pace. And when they get to Berea, as their custom, they go into the Jewish synagogue. Who do they meet there? Well, they meet Berean Jews, who are described in our passage as being more noble than those of Thessalonica. In other words, prejudice didn't interfere with them giving a fair hearing to Paul and Silas. And as they gave the message about Jesus Christ crucified, risen from the dead, as they showed from the scriptures how he fulfills the saving plan of God for the nations, the first thing we should notice is that the Bereans receive the word. They receive the message. It's our first point this morning in your outline there, verse 11. Really what they're doing is they're gathering for Bible study. And as we read, they gathered with eagerness and they received the message, really revealing their attitude and their enthusiasm to receive, and they're open to receive. Their hearts and minds are not closed off or shut down or uninterested. They've turned up and they're waiting to hear, waiting to receive. I hope that's what you've done today, waiting to hear. They receive the message, and so the facial screensaver is not like the Shar Pei dog with that sort of grumpy look on the face, nor is it like the stunned mullet, which is sort of not engaged in what's taking place. And because, you see, they've received the word with eagerness, you see, they've avoided hardening of their hearts. It's a good reminder, isn't it, here in Berea, at Berea, that those receivers of the word, that likewise, we might be eager as we gather for church. In our own reading of the Bible, when we gather in our small groups, are we looking forward to receive the word? Our custom as a family at some point on Saturday night is to pray that God would prepare our hearts for Sunday church and prepare the hearts of people that will gather on Sunday to receive the word of God. Like the psalmist in Psalm 119, he says, "Open my eyes that I might see wonderful things in your law." That's really a verse that recognises it's God who guides us in our knowledge and understanding of him. That as we open the Bibles at home and as we look at the Bible, or as you hop in your car to try to make it to Bible study this week or growth group, maybe you are going to ask God that we might be eager receivers of his word today or tonight. Secondly, the Bereans examine the word. In verse 11, it says they examined the scriptures to see if what Paul was saying was true. And so their attitude is both eagerness and diligence. They weren't gullible. They weren't people that lacked discernment. They were open receivers of the word, but they tested to see what Paul was saying against the scriptures. And you know, one of the ways that we encourage this sort of thing in our church is that from time to time we say to Bible study growth groups, why don't you look at the passage of scripture that's being looked at on Sundays? So that either you come to Sunday morning having looked at the text during the week so that you are an informed listener. Or the other way, that is, you've heard the sermon and then you go to your Bible study growth group and you look into it more in more depth to examine it. Either way, the growth group is a great way for you to examine the word. And what the Bereans were doing was critically questioning, studying, examining carefully, investigating what they were hearing. A hunger to know. And a thirst to know, giving their time and energy into it, prioritising and not neglecting the opportunity. Like searching for treasure. And when the discoveries are made and the truths applied, there's transformation. And I've seen it happen in our Bible study growth group. People stepping into leadership in the group. People growing in their commitment to the truth of God's word. And I've seen people growing in their hunger for God's word and their willingness to share in the group. And I believe that's the work of God's Spirit. I've seen men in our church through our small groups with a new desire for the word of God, looking into the scriptures, asking their questions and sort of at the precipice. Is that a good question to be asking? And it's really like a child just beginning to take first steps, starting to examine, which may be the lifetime of examining the word. And the beauty of the growth group is it provides the opportunity. The third thing I'd like to point out is the Berean consistency in the word. For in verse 11, what does it say? It says they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day. Every day. They heard the message Paul gave, Christ Jesus the Messiah, Christ Jesus the key to everything, unlocking the scriptures, the meaning, the purpose and the direction of them. The Apostle Paul extolling Christ to the hearers and these people of noble character, these Bereans, without prejudice, without dismissing it, examining the scriptures to see if it was true. What foolishness to dismiss something without ever examining it. How catastrophic to dismiss the opportunity when you know it could be true. But that's common practice, isn't it? Often it's not received because the message is dismissed and there's no examining, no interest in the truth when that's going on. Indeed, what we see here in this passage is opposition. We see it going on in Berea. For as they're daily examining, and yes, many of those Jews, verse 12, along with many prominent Greek women and Greek men, believed. But notice verse 13, those angry Jews, they made the same trip from Thessalonica to stir up the trouble, to agitate the crowds in Berea against Paul and Silas. So you've got alongside this beautiful story of receiving and examining and consistency of the word, opposition, trying to stop it. You read through the book of Acts, you'll see that happening time and time again. And it reminds us that one of the clever ploys of the evil one is to prevent us receiving God's word, preventing us from examining it and being consistent in it. What does that opposition look like today? The opposition to teach scripture in our schools. The opposition to have a Christian voice in the public square on big issues in life. But then what else might work against us receiving and examining the word consistently? That we no longer need to read and listen to the Bible for our Christian living. That we're just too busy to join with other believers in a Bible study growth group. And then there's the opposition from our own excuses to join a Bible study growth group when it can be just so beneficial for our Christian growth. And then there's excuses not to go. And I've been there. For years I've attended Bible study, and sometimes the circumstances of life have worked very hard against me going. I'm just too tired, I'm just too busy, and I won't be missed. But invariably I would go, and somehow the Lord would send me away having changed my heart and my mind about the whole thing. It was entirely worth it. The Bereans had a consistency in the word, daily in the scriptures. And no doubt they got together, they discussed what they discovered, they asked their questions, they tried to help each other in the truth of God's word. It just sounds like a Bible study growth group. Do you think that they were doing the right thing by doing that? What does it look like for you to be a bit of a Berean? Or more of a Berean? Spiritual consistency means consistency in God's word. Belonging to one of our Bible study growth groups is a great way to make a spiritual investment throughout your life. It will help to stop you forgetting that the Lord is with you, whatever you are facing in life. It allows you to love others, to pray for others, and be supported. We read that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Or as Moses addresses that generation going into the land, they're about to enter it, and he says to them, "Take heart the words I solemnly declare to you this day. They are not idle words, but they are your life." Well, Psalm 19, we had it read earlier in our service. The word, as it's described in its various ways, and then summarised there in verse 10, that they are more precious than gold, much more than pure gold, sweeter than the honey from the honeycomb. And by your servant is warned, and keeping them is great reward. We need encouragement to be consistent in the word. And our Bible study growth groups are a great way to remain regular. Let me give you some reasons why you should keep on going to one. And if you're not in one, to think about joining one. Being in a Bible study growth group gives you the opportunity to love and encourage other people in Christ. And this is prime for Christian living. We are called by our Lord Jesus to lay down our lives for one another. We are called to losing our lives for each other. And here's just four ways in which you can do that by belonging to a Bible study growth group or one of our small groups. Number one, the power of your presence. Just turning up and being there is a powerful encouragement. Unless you're sick or there's some emergency, making a solid commitment to the group sends a clear message that being with you matters to me. Unless something is very important and it comes up, you can expect me to be there. Number two, the power of preparation. You know, there's a lady in our Monday group, and she is an absolute gem because she goes and prepares the passage beforehand with her answers, and then she comes to the group ready. She's so encouraging because when she arrives, she's just ready to share what she's discovered with others. The power of preparation. The power of prayer. What a blessing that God will work in the lives of his people in answer to the prayers of his people. And in the group, there's an opportunity to share our concerns and our trials, to be bonded to people in the group, and then turning those matters to prayer for others, the most loving thing we can do, laying down our lives for one another. And then the power of love. What potential is there for pastoral care in a group? Those who we can make a phone call to, or a visit, or praying for someone, or providing a meal or some practical help. And I know it, even this month, last month. Our growth groups give opportunities for us to lay down our lives for one another, which is prime for being a follower of Jesus. I'd love to see more people in our growth groups or in one of our other smaller groups, to see that percentage increase with more groups, more leaders and more people encouraged being more of a Berean. Look, I've produced a list of our groups on two pieces of paper at the back table there where the Bibles are. There's the gold colour sheet, which is our Bible study growth groups. There's about 10 of those listed, all the times and information and contact numbers. And this one is for our other smaller groups, our special focus groups. There's a number of those there, the four. And they're up the back. There's some copies for you to grab one and to have a look and see if that's something for you. Pick one up, find a group that you think might suit and fill it in. Give it back to me or Richard. If you need more information, I'd love to help you more with that. I'd love to see more people such as Frank and Shirley or Jeremy. And as a church pastor with oversight of our Bible study growth groups and our other smaller groups, I'd love to see more people responding, committing themselves to our groups and finding pastoral care in our groups, being encouraged to receive the word and examine the word and be consistent in the word, being more of a Berean. I want to ask you, what action do you think you will take to be more Berean, be more spiritually consistent? What benefit might there be for you and for others by being connected with one of our small groups here at St. Stephen's? Let's pray. Father God, we pray that by your Spirit, more and more folk will avail themselves of the opportunity to be in your word, to grow more like Christ. We pray that many would see the advantage, the benefit of joining into one of our small group Bible studies. Pray that some will indeed want to join today. So, Father, pray that you would grow your kingdom, grow our hearts, make us more like your Son, and bless the work of our small groups here at St. Stephen's. Make us more Berean in our love for your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.